Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. The readings last week and this week are particularly rich. And I want to urge you, as I have many times, please go to our website, renewalministries.net. See the CDs, the DVDs, the books, the booklets that we have available so that wherever you think you're lacking in faith, or where you want to grow stronger in your faith, look at what's there and see if it will help you. All of the materials are by Peter Herbeck, Ralph Martin, myself, and several other writers that we've drawn in. Take a look. What do I need to grow in faith? Because, brothers and sisters, I think it's evident that we're going to enter into more difficult times. And we're going to have to be very clear on who we are and what we believe. And be able to stand. And having done all, stand. That's what Scripture tells us. Stand. And having done all, stand. How do we do that? How do we stand in strength? How do we stand in the truth? How do we stand in the love of God and the hope and the mercy of God? How do we do that? Oh, we do it by faith. How strong is your faith? This is also the feast day of St. John Vianney, and I would recommend, if you really want to be inspired, that if you've never read a biography of St. John Vianney, V-I-A-N-N-E-Y, he's a French priest, St. John Vianney, a very poor priest, powerful, powerful gift in confession, extraordinary gift, very poor, simple, humble man, who is the patron of all priests now. Read the life of St. John Vianney. You will be amazed at God's action in his life. Look at his simplicity. Look at his childlikeness. He turned to God for everything. And God did not fail him, nor will he fail you or me. Let's take a look at the first reading today from the book of Numbers, chapter 12, 1 to 13. This is just a continuation. I call this the complaining books and the complaining chapters. We're just never satisfied. Poor Moses. I honestly, every time I read all of this, I feel sorry for him, of what he had to endure. So Miriam and Aaron, they're his family, all right? They're family. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses on the pretext of the marriage he had contracted with the Cushite woman. And they complained, "Is it through Moses alone that the Lord speaks?" Do you hear jealousy? I do. Is it through Moses alone that the Lord speaks? Does he not speak through us also? Whoa, there's another characteristic of us, jealousy. And the Lord heard this. The Lord hears us, whether we say it out loud or not. He knows every jealous thought in our body. Is it through Moses alone that the Lord speaks? Does he not speak through us also? And the Lord heard this. Now, Moses himself was by far the meekest man on the face of the earth. Meek means strength under control. Remember that. He was by far the meekest man on the face of the earth. So at once the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the meeting tent. I would not want to be called by the Lord. Come out here, you three." And the three of them went. Then the Lord came down in the column of cloud, and standing at the entrance of the tent, he called Aaron and Miriam. When both came forward, he said, "Now listen to the words of the Lord. Should there be a prophet among you, in visions will I reveal myself to him, in dreams will I speak to him. Not so with my servant Moses. Throughout my house he bears my trust. I don't speak to him in dreams and visions. Face to face, I speak to him, plainly and not in riddles. the presence of the Lord he beholds. Why then did you not fear to speak against my servant Moses? Oh, brothers and sisters, he says, Moses is so dear to me that I speak to him face to face. I've spoken to all the prophets through dreams and through visions, but he bears my trust. And so who are you that you do not fear to speak against my servant Moses? Brothers and sisters, take this to heart, that you don't stand before God one day and hear these words. Be very careful who you judge, who you're jealous of, who you attack, who you try to undermine. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Treat it like it was a poison snake about to attack you. What would you do? And do it in terms of jealousy and envy and suspicion and lies. Stop it. Should there be a prophet among you in visions, will I reveal myself to him? In dreams, will I speak to him? But not so with my servant Moses. Throughout my house, he bears my trust. So angry was the Lord against them that when he departed and the cloud withdrew from the tent, there was Miriam a snow-white leper. When God left them, he attacked her with leprosy, which made her absolutely, she was banished. She couldn't be in with the community. When Aaron turned and saw her a leper, he said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please do not charge us with the sin that we have foolishly committed. Let her not thus be like the stillborn babe that comes forth from its mother's womb with its flesh half consumed." So here's a family member pleading with another family member. Please, if you're that close to God, please don't let this happen. And then Moses cried to the Lord, "Please, Lord, not this. Please, Lord, heal her." Notice that. Notice that. Even though they had attacked him, even though they were jealous of him, even though they wanted to get rid of him, what does he do? He prays for them that the punishment of God may not fall upon them. I could weep when I hear this. Think of all the strife and the silence and the broken relationships in our families. It could be changed by one deciding not to go the way of jealousy and anger and bitterness and hatred and revenge, but praying that God would set us free, that family, whatever the group is, set them free. Be merciful, O God, for we have sinned. Many of you who listen to this program know that Psalm 51 is a very important psalm to me. It's one I pray very, very frequently. Make it your own prayer. Have mercy on me, God, in your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion. Wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt. Of my sin, cleanse me. I acknowledge my offense. My sin is before me always. A clean heart create for me, O God. A steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Let that become your prayer, brothers and sisters, that you may be a reconciler, that you may be one who brings unity, even if you yourself have been hurt. Look at Moses. Look at Aaron, even pleading for his sister. Look at Moses, pleading for them both. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 36, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. This is after the multiplication of the loaves and fish. And after doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, so the wind was against them. So they've had a rough day. They've had a lot go wrong, but they've also had miracles. And now a storm during the fourth watch of the night, the deepest, darkest part of the night. The night when you wake up, that's the time of the night that it's the hardest. Everything seems to come in on you. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost. They've come to know this Jesus, and yet what happens? It's the human condition. It's a ghost. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. And at once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage. It is I." This is above the winds and the storm, the howling of the winds. He says, "Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid." And Jesus says that to you, brothers and sisters, when you're in a storm. Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now there's a test of faith. And Peter did it. Peter was always the one. He's very impetuous. He just leaps out and he says it, and then he realizes what he said. "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and immediately he began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. It took a lot of strength, wouldn't it? And he said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" I could probably give six answers to that, but Jesus is saying, "Come on, you of little faith, come on, I want to give you more faith. Trust me in the middle of the storm. Trust me." And after they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." After making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak, and as many as touched it were healed. They had faith. They were believing. They didn't quite, they couldn't have articulated it in the form of the credo, but they were believing. Do you believe? When there's storms of life, what's the first thing you do? Are you trying to batten down the hatches, so to speak? Are you calling out to the Lord? You teach your children, go to the Lord first, turn to the Lord, put your trust in the Lord, ask him to help you and show you the way, ask him to inspire you, tell you what to do. He does, you know, if we turn to him. So I want to encourage you, all of you, God wants to give you the grace to grow in real faith. Real faith. That you might be a light in the darkness. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.